In Yarmouth, Maine, the area clergy would get together once a month for lunch. At least they did when I was there. I'm hoping they still do, because those lunches were great. We got together for lunch once a month at the same restaurant, sat at the same table, had the same waiter, and actually ordered the same meals from one month to the next. And the funny thing was, the waiter would read us the specials every month, even though he knew none of us would order them. And at the end of the meal, he'd come over and ask if anybody wanted dessert, knowing that none of us would. But it was a nice little ritual we had. And this regular routine was broken one month when one of us, and I think it was the pastor of the Methodist Church, asked for Thousand Island dressing on his salad instead of his usual ranch. Well, pandemonium broke out. Chaos everywhere. The next month, somebody did order dessert. And then somebody even ordered the special. Pretty soon, we were just ordering whatever we wanted, and it was just... Well, it was just really wonderful that it wasn't the Unitarian Universalist who sowed the seeds of chaos. Because I really liked their fish and chips, so I kept ordering, and I was the only traditionalist in the bunch. But I digress. This interfaith clergy group met each month, and we talked about all sorts of things. Deep theological things, kind of clergy, businessy, frustrated with our congregations things, although I was never frustrated with the congregation. I serve just as here, I never am. But they all had issues with their congregations. It became pretty clear to me, though, pretty quickly, that this really wasn't an interfaith group, that it was really an ecumenical group. And the distinction is, an interfaith group is when people of different religions come together. An ecumenical group is when people from different branches of the Christian tradition come together. And I realized that that's what they all thought this was. And I asked them if they realized that Unitarian Universalism is not a branch of Christianity. We're not Protestantism like. Now, we have Christian Unitarian Universalists and Unitarian Universalist Christians in our movement, and we are rooted in the so-called Judeo-Christian tradition, yet we are something distinct, different. Just as Buddhism or Hinduism or Wicca are different religions. And that was apparently news to them. Apparently, my predecessor had not thought it overly important to stress this fact. But I was fresh out of divinity school and a recent convert to Unitarian Universalism, so I thought it was important. I wanted them to know that Christianity was not necessarily our primary religious language, and that you couldn't even assume a theistic orientation when we were there. One of my proudest moments was that towards the end of my tenure, when we were planning an interfaith service, which was the Lutheran pastor who said, "This is pretty God-centered language. Do you think we should open it up?" So when I explained this, when I revealed this truth about our tradition, the pastor of the local Baptist church was particularly intrigued. He peppered me with questions, not in an accusatory way, but sincerely interested in learning about this weird thing. He and I stayed around for about 45 minutes after lunch was over, continuing the conversation. It only ended because he had to go and go to a wedding rehearsal and I had to officiate a memorial service, so he had to go. But it was a really exciting conversation. And the primary way we talked about these distinctions was the metaphor of the mountain, which is a thing that comes up from time to time where God is a mountain, or a mountain is like God, and there's a path to the top. And in a lot of traditions, there is a path to the top. And I said that the distinction for us is that there are a lot of paths to the top, and that we don't tell anyone what path they have to take. We encourage them to take the path that calls them and see what they see. Well, this was kind of a new way of thinking about things for him. And so he would ask questions like, well, what if you get lost? And I said, well, using the theistic language, if God is the mountain, then God's not just at the peak. So even if we spent the entire time at the rest area at the bottom of the mountain, we were still there with God. What if, while you're walking your path, you come across a bridge that was out, and you come to a cliff, then what? And I said, well, we Unitarian Universalists are smart enough to turn around and go back. Find another path and see if that would take us up. At the end of this conversation, as we were heading out in the parking lot to our cars, he said to me, Pastor, I'm going to pray for you. Some of you think you know what he meant, and he thought that I thought that. So he quickly went, no, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, I'm going to pray for you, because that sounds hard. And for years, I know, he kept praying for us, because it is hard. And it was during this time that I came up with my brief and somewhat erudite explanation for Unitarian Universalism. When people would ask me, I would say, well, Unitarian Universalism is a non-creedal, covenantal, post-Christian religious movement. And it cleared it up for everyone. At the first service, somebody yelled out from the back, say that again! As if I'm not about to spend the rest of this reflection talking about those pieces. And I want to pull out each piece by itself for a minute. So non-creedal. We're a non-creedal tradition because we don't teach a truth as though it's the only truth. So we don't have a creed or a dogma that we insist that people must believe if they're to be part of our communities. Now, some people hold on to a truth as though it's the truth. At our best, we're open-minded. At our worst, we're like any other human. I had a conversation with a parishioner once. He said, if people ever want to know what to believe, they should talk to me, because I believe the same thing since I was 16. And I said, wow, a little overdue to question that belief, don't you think? The Trappist monk Thomas Merton once said that if the you of 5 years ago doesn't consider the you of today a heretic, you haven't been doing it right. There are people who would argue that there is, in fact, a creed for Unitarian Universalists. That there is a series of statements, in fact, that say what we believe. And there's even a little card that says what Unitarian Universalists believe. There's some in the pews. They go out in our newcomer packets. You can find them online. What Unitarian Universalists believe. And inside are the seven principles of Unitarian Universalism. And I can't tell you how many Unitarian Universalists I've spoken with who have said these are our beliefs. But it's not really a belief statement. So the seven principles are the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another, and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience, and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, and respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. A lot of people think that we're apart from nature, but we're a part of nature. There's actually an eighth principle that right now is being discussed at our General Assemblies and among congregations, whether we should add this eighth principle, which is journeying towards spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions. So there are seven, I hope there soon will be eight, principles that we hold. But as I said, these aren't belief statements. This doesn't come from some theological treatise. It is, in fact, from a much more prosaic source. It's in the UUA's bylaws. And it's a covenant statement saying that we covenant with each other. We promise to and with each other to affirm and promote these principles. Now, of course, there's the implication that we believe in these things, but what we say is that we covenant to affirm and promote. The covenant is what matters. The agreement, the promise, the commitment, that matters most. So we're a non-creedal, covenantal, multi-faith, non-creedal, covenantal, post-Christian religious movement. And I just realized I did again what I did in the first service, which was to pull up the wrong copy of this. So, covenant. Covenant is what binds us together. The first question we ask one another when we're at our best is not what do you believe, the way most religious traditions do. What do you believe, and if you believe as I do, we can join together. We ask instead, as our primary interest, what kind of world do you think this should be? How should people treat one another? How should we take care of the planet? What kind of world do you want? If you want the same kind of world, if you have the same kind of open and inclusive vision, then we should get together. Our second question is, what do you believe? And we ask that not so much to test whether we believe the same thing, but out of curiosity. Why do you believe in that vision that we both believe in? Some people would say that they believe Christ died for our sins, and so we have a responsibility to make that love matter. Other people say all things have good nature, and so we're interconnected, and our futures depend on one another. Some people say there's nothing but us, and if our species and our planet are going to survive, we need to do something about it. What do you believe is an interesting question for Unitarian Universalists. And so, like hikers climbing up the mountain who gather together from time to time to say, I hiked up the South Face, this is what I saw. And somebody else said, wow, I was on the North Face, this is what it looked like to me. And so their understanding is enriched. Or those creatures from the story who got together and shared their stories about where they had been, what they had seen. At our best, that's why we ask ourselves about our promises, or about our beliefs. Because we know that they will enrich each of us. So we are non-creedal, covenantal, post-Christian, and that's not a theological statement, it's a sociological one. Our society is no longer a Christian society. Some people would like to insist that it is, some people would like to change it back to being one, but it has long been recognized by sociologists and students and scholars of religion that American religion is secular. We're not a Christian nation. And so we are post-Christian in that terminology. Interestingly, one of my teachers said that if you look at the way cities were built over time, you can find out what is the central thing for the people who live there. So back in the Middle Ages, it's the cathedral, tall, powerful, ornate. Go ahead a few generations, and suddenly it's not. Now universities and and institutions of knowledge and learning, they are in the center of things, and they are the biggest, grandest buildings. Today, it's banks and other buildings of capitalism, which is the heart of our religion today. Our culture is post-Christian, and so we, as a religious tradition, are post-Christian as well. Our roots are in the Christian tradition, and beyond that, into the Jewish roots of the Christian tradition. Our heresies, as they call them, have been there from the beginning. But our two movements merged in 1961 and created something new. Unitarian Universalism was born in a post-Christian age. So we're non-creedal, covenantal, post-Christian, religious movement. And religious is a term that hangs up a lot of you use. We're not a religion, are we? Some people say that they come to Unitarian Universalism because they really don't like organized religion. And the joke there is the organized part. But the deep truth of it is, they don't like the religion part. Because religion is a word with so much baggage. Yet, the root of the word religion is Latin, religare, to bind together, to hold together, to bring together. And religious terms like worship, which many people eschew, it goes from the old English worshipen and means to consider things of worth, to look at things that matter. We don't need all the baggage connected to those words, but the words are a good one. We are a religious movement. We are a religion. And finally, movement. We're a movement because we're not technically a denomination. We're not centralized in that way. We are different. Our congregations are the heart of the association, and our individual members are the heart of our congregations, and none of us, individually or collectively, can tell any of the rest of us what to do. So we're not, in that sense, a denomination. But we are a movement. Back in our history, a great universalist professor was once asked to explain what universalists stood for. And he said, "We don't stand, we move." And today I know friends who say, "We don't stand, we march." Just this morning I read a colleague writing, "Unitarian Universalism. Not quite so sure about God, but absolutely certain about voting." Which we all are. What is that, Tuesday or something? Yes. Yet, like the wiggly sea creature, just moving isn't enough. Just moving around is no way to make a community. No way, especially, to create the beloved community that we would see come into being. If you and I and we and all of us are just moving wherever the current takes us, what holds us together? Well, we, like those little creatures, need to be grounded on and in something. And we are. Along with those seven, soon I hope to be eight, principles, the UUA also lifts up six sources of our faith tradition. Sources that nourish and nurture our strange quest for truth and meaning. So here are those six sources. Direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. We assert that the first thing that we ground ourselves in as a religious movement is direct experience. That's why a lot of you will say that among the great scriptures of the world is your own life story. because the truths you've discovered, the truths I've discovered, are no less important than the ones discovered thousands of years ago. Our lives, our experiences of life, ground our whole movement. And yet, if all we ground ourselves in is ourselves and our own subjective experience, well, then what my mentor said to the congregation he served would be true. He said to them that at our worst, Unitarian Universalists in New England should take down their spires and put up weather vanes, because we would just go wherever the prevailing winds took us. So we have a second source, which is the words and deeds of prophetic people, which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil and with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. We ground ourselves in the wisdom of those who've come before us. That's important to remember. And that balances our grounding ourselves in ourselves. Third source is that we ground ourselves in the wisdom from the world's religions, which inspire us to our ethical and spiritual life. We are a distinct religious tradition, and we work at our best not to simply appropriate from other traditions. And yet we recognize that there's wisdom and truth in all of them. There are nuggets of insight and revelation, and we shouldn't close ourselves off from that. And so we draw on the wisdom of other religions to help feed and fuel our own. Specifically, the fourth source notes that we draw on the Jewish and Christian teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbor as ourselves. This doesn't say that we ground ourselves in a belief of God. It says we ground ourselves on the teachings of other traditions which believe in God, and what the Jewish and Christian traditions say about that God they believe in, that we ground ourselves in. God bless you. Yet we also ground ourselves in humanist teachings. Humanist teachings which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science, and warn us against idolatries of the mind and spirit. Most, actually, of the signers of the Humanist Manifesto were Unitarian clergy, who recognized early that you don't need some concept of a deity to be a good and ethical person. And so the humanist teachings that encourage us to look at the truths we're learning from science, right? That's part of what grounds us as well. The sixth and final of the sources that we name is the spiritual teachings of Earth-centered traditions, which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. This points to that, are we a part of that web of life, or are we apart from it? One of the sources that we feed upon are those traditions that know in their core that we are part of it, that we are interconnected. These things are what we hold ourselves to and by. Whether we're talking about our association, whether we're talking about our congregations, including this one, whether we're talking about us as individuals, we are a distinct religious tradition. And just as people can turn to any of the religious traditions that we humans have ever developed for nurture, strength, comfort, so can we. We're not just amoeboid creatures moving past each other with no real connections. We are rooted in something real. And that something real, we can count on. So let's, as we've begun doing lately, let's take a moment of silence.